We're continuing our series on the miracles of Jesus. This morning, we're looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, Jesus and the calming of the sea. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much so that the boat was filling. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In Psalm 65, David declared, "Who doth still the roaring of the seas and the roaring of the waves? The Lord God is the one who made the storm be still, and brings those who sail to the other side their desired haven." What a prophetic announcement of what we have just read. You know, one of the pitfalls that preachers have is they're in anxiety to make application. They seem to lose sight of what the message is all about. And so I've heard preachers preach on this, and the application is, now whatever storm you're going through in your life, Jesus can still that storm. Well, that's a given, but this text is not designed to tell us how we can solve personal problems. It's designed to elicit our understanding of who Jesus is. One of the things that is so astonishing when you read a portion like this is to be able to put it in geographical context. One of my favorite courses in seminary was biblical geography. And it was a course in which we basically had to memorize all the locations in the Holy Land, where they were situated and all that. And particularly the Sea of Galilee is 600 feet below sea level. Now, some of you I know have been over there and have seen it. And it's surrounded by hills. I frequently am hunting ducks at Lake Roosevelt. And Roosevelt has been known to get white waves to the point that it capsizes boats because of the way it's situated. It, too, is surrounded by high hills. And what happens is wind will come in and start circulating. And the next thing you know, it's choppy. And you run the risk, if you don't get to shore, capsizing. Well, over there, the Mediterranean is on one side. And when the cool wind comes through and contacts with the hot air, it creates turbulence. And I'm not talking about just choppy waves. These are the kind of waves that seasoned sailors are afraid of. The other thing you have to remember is this is not a rowing boat. After all, how many people were in the boat? Well, we know there was at least 13 of them. And so this wasn't so little skip. This was a large enough boat to accommodate a crowd of 13 people, and that Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping, when suddenly this cyclone-type storm hits. So much so that the text says water was lapping over the edges. And these men are seasoned fishermen. Most of them were. That's what they did for a living. And they are terrified of this storm. And Jesus, in the meantime, is asleep. And so here we have the scared disciples running to the stern to wake Jesus up. And they ask him a question, "Do you not care?" He seemed indifferent that we're in this trial, we're in this test, and that we're going to die at sea. Now notice, before he addresses their question, he stands up and he addresses the wind and the water. This is quite astonishing. He stands up and says, "Hush, be still." Now, it's interesting that that word, be still, was used of animals being taken to cages or having their mouths sealed with a muzzle. And that he addresses the elements like they were animate objects, and it may well have been a satanic-inspired storm. But immediately the wind stops and the water becomes perfectly calm. And then he now, having rebuked the elements, he rebukes his disciples. Look at what he said to them. Why are you afraid? Do you really think the Son of Man is going to perish at sea? Do you have so little faith? Now, if you have a Bible that has the letters, the words of Jesus in red, go back up to verse 15. Look at what Jesus told his disciples. Let us go over to the other side. We're not going to stop in the middle and drown. We're going to the other side. If you believe what Jesus said, there was no need to be afraid. Because you see, there is a reason for this miracle. We've looked at miracles in which Jesus healed people from their physical infirmities. We've looked at miracles in which he fed the masses with just a few fish and loaves. We've looked at the miracles in which he cast out demons. We've looked at miracles in which he raises the dead. But now, this does not serve any other purpose than to focus the disciples' attention on who is this that even the wind and the storm obey him. One of the things that I have found so fascinating in studying the miracles of Jesus is how they heighten the disciples' opinion. Remember when he turned the water into wine? That was the first of the miracles at the wedding at Cana. And the text says, and his disciples beheld his glory, the Creator. Now again, in this example, they were scared out of their wits at the fierceness of the storm. But the text says they were even more afraid of who Jesus was. You see, it was the fear that I would liken it to this. The first fear was the fear of physically drowning. This fear is a proper fear that we're to have of God, a holy awe. They are awed by him. By the way, what else does this tell you about Jesus? Well, that he is Lord of creation. All things were made by him, without him was nothing made, and that includes the wind and the water. He is the sovereign cosmic Christ, the Creator. And so, thus, the wind and the elements obey the voice of their Creator. One other thing. This was the first of a series of censures that Jesus addressed to his disciples for their lack of faith and understanding. They did, indeed, ask the right question, who is this? But Jesus reprimanded them for not believing what he said in the first place. We're going to the other side. We're not going to drown. Take my word for it. Isn't that confidence and reassuring that we can rest confidence in what Christ has said? He has promised us many things in Scripture. He said, all that the Father hath given to me will come to me. Have you come to Christ? Then you were given to him by the Father. And I will lose none of them. And I will raise them up on the last day. That glorious passage that we're memorizing for the month of December and January, I hope you are well on your way to having sealed that in your heart and mind to reflect upon it, that one day we will be there. One day, as the Belgic Confession tells us, we will be ushered into the glorious presence of Christ, where we will ever more be with him. We will see the saints that have gone before us. There will be others around the great white throne, around the great throne. And we will relish the Lamb. I'm so glad that when I read about this Jesus, that he is my Jesus, and that I am safe and secure in his care, and that one day And that day is coming faster than most of us can imagine. Each day, one day at a time, we draw closer to the end of our lives. We draw closer to the ultimate end of human history. It will end at some point in time. Christ will return glorious, and he will take us to be at home with him in his Father's house. May this text grant you that kind of confidence of knowing who it is who has called you into his grace.